Recently, Scott Powell, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and the author of the book Rediscovering America, wrote an article with this title, Celebrating July 4th Rings Hollow Without Fidelity to America's Founding Ideals. In that article, to which we'll link, he said that we should seek to celebrate our founding ideals and a time of renewed commitment to engage and wake up our nation, end quote. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now, we welcome back Scott Powell, again, the author of Rediscovering America. Scott, it's great to have you back on the program.
Jerry, it's wonderful to be with you. It always is.
Okay, so tell me, what are America's founding ideals to which we need a kind of a recommitment to?
Well, as we think of July 4th, and we can think about it all year long, and particularly in the near aftermath, I think perhaps everyone can focus on this because we're really going through very trying times. But we have to remember that America was first in all of human history to establish a free and independent constitutional republic based on two political and moral principles. First, the government was required to protect its subjects' unalienable, God-given freedom and rights. And those rights would be later formalized in the Constitution's Bill of Rights. But the Declaration made it clear that the people had the rights. Now, second, America was the first country to establish that the legitimacy for government resides exclusively in the people. It is not a legitimacy that comes from a monarchy, from a royal lineage, from the elites that think they run America today, but it comes from the people. And it's the people who elect the leaders. And so that's why, for instance, it's absolutely imperative that we get election integrity restored in America, because without it, we don't have legitimacy of government. And when we don't have a legitimate government, all things go wrong for our country.
You know, it's interesting. You and I have discussed this in the past, but there definitely is a war against America as founded. And in effect, what they're really doing is they're fighting against these founding ideals that you talked about.
No, absolutely. We have been in a spiritual and ideological war, but I think we all recognize that something is awry now. Something is different about what we're facing in America. We can't explain so many things. We can't explain suddenly the ascendance of this transgender movement where, you know, not only are young people questioning their God-given identities as boys or girls, but that adults are facilitating transition and gender change, which has enormous consequences when it's consummated. My gosh, you can't go back once you're transgendered. It's not like, well, I'll try this out, and if it doesn't work, I can always go back to the way that I was.
And you're talking about kids. You're not talking about adults who, at least with the adults, make that mistake. If they go down that path, they at least were adults when they made the decisions. They still have to live with the consequences. But these children, they're being deprived of the childhood. You know, I remember when some of the people were protesting against Disney and in favor of DeSantis's policies, one of their phrases was, let kids be kids. And I thought, that's exactly right. Let kids be kids.
Absolutely. We are living in trying times, and this spiritual battle, you know, is manifesting itself really in every area of our lives. It's affecting our political system. It's affecting all our cultural institutions, our schools, our media, and even our military are being dramatically affected by this woke surrogate religion, if you will.
And how about if you could drill down a little bit more on the election integrity issue, because, boy, that's so true. If we lose, you know, faith and confidence in the election process, you know, that our vote really counts for the one that we intended to apply to, my goodness, it's like we could lose the country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the election integrity is absolutely vital. It's sort of the heartbeat and the blood of our constitutional republican form of government. And it's really quite remarkable when we look at what's going wrong in our country, and who's responsible for that. It is primarily elites that seem to be very misguided, that it is really the elites who are coming up with this, with all kinds of alternative, a Green New Deal, a new global, the dissolution of borders and the encouragement of globalism. That's one reason that our borders are open, because the leaders of our country, the Biden administration, doesn't really believe in the national sovereignty of the United States and protecting the people. It wants to see America change and emerge into perhaps in the beginning a new tri-country arrangement with Mexico, America, and Canada having no borders at all. But that's just a prelude to the global borderless world that these elites actually think is their vision of the future. And of course, it would be hell. It would be tyranny, because, from the beginning of time, man has struggled with abuse of power. And so, it's hard enough to have an accountable government for a people, for a culture, for a nation. And if you expand this, there's less and less accountability as you move to a global system. There's no accountability in the United Nations. And look at all the programs that they've pushed on the world that have been utter failures. The United Nations has done far more harm than they've done good, but there's no check to their power, really. But there is a check to American power, and it's all delineated in our Constitution. Our Declaration and our Constitution give us the means to have a government that's accountable to the people.
So in effect, the global, the new world order, all this kind of stuff, which, that used to be something where when people talk about that, they were accused of being conspiracy nuts. Now it's just sort of seems to be the headlines, in one form or another. But anyway, they are at war with America's founding ideals.
Absolutely. America stands in the way of a new global order. And The cutting edge of this movement now is going through the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization wants to have the ability to manage health crises globally. In other words, the sovereignty of nations, that nation states would surrender their sovereignty to the World Health Organizations to deal with health crises. And that could go beyond a pandemic. It could be an imagined, climate change crisis, or any number of things. But the whole idea that we would even be considering allowing the United Nations to make rules and laws and regulations for us under any circumstances is utterly unacceptable.
Well, I think one of the big deals here is that we have to somehow reach young people and people of Americans of all ages and so forth about the uniqueness of America and why it's worth preserving these founding ideals and just keep banging that drum, because, unfortunately, this could be lost. And as Ronald Reagan, once put it, he put it this way, America is one nation under God, but if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, we'll be one nation gone under. And we seem to be headed down that direction and not the under God direction.
Yeah, I mean, really, the craziness that Americans are witnessing, I think, has been necessary to wake people up to the fact that our problems are way beyond the politics of passing through a season of election cycle difficulties. It almost appears that we're on a bit of a death spiral trajectory of collapse, and in almost all the areas critical to sustaining the viability and sovereignty of the United States, the decline has been accelerating in the last few years. And it's happening so fast that failure and collapse could take place really in a matter of months or a few years, not decades, if these trends aren't stopped and reversed. And maybe in the next segment, Jerry, we can talk about that.
Sure, but let's for the next few minutes that remain, let's focus on, okay, what would you like to see happen in terms of reaching young people to realize what we have in America? And by the way, I look at the homeschool movement and I say, well, this is one of the bright spots in America. The homeschool movement, you know, by and large, I mean, they're having people like Rick Green teach about the importance of the Constitution and so forth. And there could be real, true American renewal through things like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the homeschool movement is probably certainly the best corrective to the craziness going on in public schools. I mean, when public schools are losing students, they're just, families are taking their kids out of public school. It's a great corrective force. I don't know that the public schools can really ever, recover what we had really in the first, 180 years of our country, really right up through the early 60s, we had public schools and the curriculum in public schools and the management of public schools really oriented around the heritage of America, which included a recognition that the Bible plays a role in our culture and that prayer, we should have prayer on a daily basis, saluting the flag. All these things were happening in public schools right through the 1950s. But in the 60s, everything began to change.
Okay, so recapping our top story, the hour is late, but would you say a God-given revival could help change things around?
Of course, Jerry, you know that. I mean, that's what we clearly recognize that is probably the most important thing to happen because, when you think of the four domains of any country, you have the political, you have the military, you have the economic. Those three are really probably the three core, the three stools of a stable country. If you're weak in any one of those areas, the stool would fall over. But lastly, there's really a fourth stool, and it's the most important leg on the stool, and that's the moral and the cultural. When the moral and cultural is right, everything else is affected by it.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? I mean, I think of George Washington's words in the farewell address where he said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Or John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Those are direct quotes. Those are not paraphrases. And when they talked about religion, they meant Christianity in one stripe or another.
Absolutely.
We have about a minute left.
And let me add to that. Dwight Eisenhower, the Supreme Allied Commander of U.S. forces in World War II and our nation's 34th U.S. president, viewed God as indispensable and once said that, quote, faith is the mightiest force that man has at his command. It impels human beings to greatness in thought and word and deed. He also said, our form of government has no sense unless it is founded in deeply felt religious faith. That was Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s.
That is amazing. Well, we're basically out of time, but I'll refer people to your book. The name of your book is Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. Again, that's by Scott Powell, who's been our guest on this particular segment. The website for that particular book is rediscoveringamerica.net. Scott Powell, thanks so much for being with us. May God bless you and may God bless America with repentance and a third great awakening. Amen.
I'm with you, Jerry. Thank you.